Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back to our cherished show here, Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. We are so thrilled to have you all join us today as we delve into new topics and uplift our communities and nurture all of you guys with spiritual growth as well. As you know, your ongoing support and donations are invaluable, and I encourage you all to continue to contribute to this mission of light and love. We encourage you all to donate. Please donate, even if it's just a dollar, to the ministry in order to continue supporting those in need internationally. Okay, you guys are back for a special treat today. We are jumping right on into our healing series, and you know who's back with us again, Miss Stephanie E. Scoopin, who helps people feel good enough in their lives through the work of Byron Katie. Steph Scoopin is a veterinarian, as you guys know, by profession, and she has helped her clients feel more at peace in their lives with her own company since 2020. So I just want to remind you guys exactly who we're working with here, and she's just amazing. We're so excited to have you back, Ms. Susan.
Hey, Jewel. I'm very excited. And yeah, we've had a couple of ups and downs to the holiday season getting connected, but yeah, I'm very excited that we're back here today.
We sure did. I know at least one individual had left a comment about how much they look forward to our healing series, and guys, please know we have tried our best to connect before this holiday season, but you guys know how it is. If it's not one thing, it's another, and I'm just so excited to hear her voice again because I just feel we're bringing about something great in terms of healing, and I hope that it's nurturing you all. With that said, I want to share today's topic with you guys, which I know I have been leading up to, I think, in the last three podcasts I've done. And I know many of you are like, when is this actually going to happen? Well, guys, it's here. It's today. And so our topic today is how to heal through betrayal and sabotage with self-love. This is something that personally hits home to my heart, and I have been going through a healing process, and so I'm excited to talk about it with Ms. Susan today. And before I open up with that topic, I just want to give you guys two scripture, because you guys know that I'm very much grounded in my spiritual growth, and I think these two scriptures will help others as well as we delve into this topic. So the first one is Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, which says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And the second scripture is Psalm 139:14, which says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And I picked those two scriptures, Ms. Scoopin, because the first one kind of just reminded me of that whole forgiving through the betrayal and sabotage, and then followed by the psalm, which is leading into that whole self-love and remembering how wonderfully we were made by our Father. So with that said, we can jump right in. If you want to take lead or you want me to jump in on the topic, I'm so excited and stupid. I'm going to leave the toast
right
to you this week. Yes.
Yeah, so I love the two scriptures that you've chosen for this, because it really is exactly, it brings it really to the point that, you know, we have to forgive, first of all, for ourselves to heal. And it's you know, again, there is this idea, and I think we've talked about this previously, that forgiveness is for others, but actually it is for ourselves, so that we can make peace with it. And there is an even deeper layer there, which is really scary and really hard at times, and yet it is really beautiful, and the scripture points to it, because it says, if you forgive others, then the Heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yes.
So it is in the forgiveness of ourselves, that's where true forgiveness lies. And it is, how the world is constructed is that we, you know, we perceive ourselves as separate from another person. And a lot of the time, especially when we're hurt or threatened, we really separate. We're going like, no, this is what you did, and I didn't do anything here. And that's understandable because, you know, things hurt, and we really, really want to move away from it, and it's scary. And but the depth of forgiveness and the depth of healing happen when we can see our own part, however small it is, you know, when we can see how maybe by staying in a situation that, you know, a part of us knew was not good for us, we betrayed ourselves, or we sabotaged ourselves. And, or maybe by, you know, not being even honest about where we were standing, we maybe sabotaged the other person. And, you know, sometimes these parts that we're playing are smaller than, you know, what the other person did. But until the moment where we can see it in ourselves, and we can see how, you know, we were motivated trying to protect ourselves, trying to move away from the pain, in that moment, we can see that the same thing is true for the other person, and that's when forgiveness happens. So it's almost not an act of, you know, okay, well, I know, I am love, and, you know, I'm spiritual, and so therefore, I will forgive you. It has to come, because this doesn't, most of the time, it doesn't work. It's a superficial forgiveness. But when we see our innocence and our mistake, but that we made the mistake in innocence, in you know, trying to protect, trying to not feel pain, then we can see what happened, and then forgiveness just happens. That's when your Heavenly Father forgives, because it's an act of grace. It really is.
Yes. You know, Ms. Goodwin, I wanted to talk about... I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
Nope. I'm happy to follow.
Yes, I wanted to talk a little bit about betrayal and sabotage.
Yes.
Because I know that's come up in a lot of supporters' group chats over the past few weeks, dealing with specifically betrayal with those that they've loved. And I know that, you know, while it's normal for us to unintentionally let others down now and again, actions of betrayal kind of hit a little different in a category altogether. Because when those we count on the most betray us, the body, the mind, and spirit are deeply traumatized. And I think that's where a lot of the challenges that people face in healing through specifically betrayal, and maybe even sometimes others trying to sabotage their growth and potential. And I wanted to gauge your opinion on that. What do you think?
So the first thing that I want to say is that these when you talk about these situations in a general term, it's often hard to see what I was describing, because of the trauma that you know. So everybody that's listening is seeing their own trauma. This is what happened for me. So if you talk about this in very general terms, then it is really hard often for people to be able to focus down enough to see their own part, because, as I said, you know, a part of us just really wants the pain to stop, right? Really wants to heal that trauma, and we don't know how. So when I'm saying, you know, look for your own part, then for some people, this might be too trauma. There might be too much trauma for them to be able to do that. And so, you know, just saying that you have to be your own part, you have to forgive yourself first, can feel really cruel. So really, this, to go into this betrayal, this, you know, having been let down by somebody, that you loved, like, for example, you know, having been abandoned as a child by a parent, or, you know, what is the story that makes you want to talk about it? Like, give me one example of a story. So, because if we can focus in more specifically, it will start to make more sense what I'm saying.
Okay, you guys know that I'm often really transparent with my life, and I've dealt with a couple of betrayals, to say the least, with family and relationship. I think in my particular case, I found myself very loyal to individuals that I had to take off my rose-colored glasses, because I've always kind of wanted to see the best in people, and it was often to my own demise, right? Because I've always made excuses as to why someone would do something. Like, I'm sure there was a perfectly good explanation as to why they didn't come home when they said they were going to come home, for example.
Right.
And I didn't want to, at that particular time, face the ugly truth that this person is betraying me, that this person is taking advantage of my loyalty, my trust, until, you know, you have no choice but to sit down and kind of cope with the truth. And so for me, I had to take accountability of all of those times that it was in my face, and I chose not to see it. Right? I had to grow from that. I had to accept that part that I played in my own sabotage. Right? Because had I accepted the truth and stopped trying to bandage it up, you know, it wouldn't have impacted my world the way it did when I had to accept.
Exactly.
So
I can, you know, hear from your story that you have walked this path and you have done a lot of this work already. So this is a wonderful story to, you know, a wonderful situation to illustrate it. And I really appreciate you. You know, I want to commend your courage for sharing it. So can you see why in those times when you chose not to see the truth, what were you afraid of at the time? If you were going to let yourself see that your trust was misplaced, what were you afraid was going to happen?
You know, at that time in my life, I was afraid that the truth would derail my success. It would derail where I see myself going with my goals, my family. I was solely focused on, sad to say, but even comparing myself to my peers and where I should be, so much so that I wanted to block out the reality of it crumbling before me.
Exactly.
So to speak.
Exactly. And so that is a perfectly good reason, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, right? So, and that's exactly what I mean is we see what was my part? You know, why was it that I was hanging on to this idea that I had of what should happen? And what, you know, why wasn't I allowing myself to see clearly? And that's when I can forgive myself. I can go like, oh, that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. And from that position of forgiveness, I can begin to forgive the other person. Because just like I had reasons that made me not be honest with myself, so they probably had reasons, you know, to not share with me properly, to not bring me in into their reasoning. You know, from what you're little bit what you're sharing, I could, for example, see that this person saw how much you wanted this and just couldn't bring themselves to tell you what was really going on because they didn't want to hurt you. You know, so that's, for example, like, when you think betrayal in, you know, in love relationships, like, that's a lot of the time that is what's going on. One partner is looking outside and just cannot get themselves to tell the other person because they're scared, A, that, you know, they have to make a commitment to a new step, which is understandable, and, and B, that they're going to hurt the other person. And that doesn't make it wrong or right. It just shows how we are often, you know, we are guided to our decisions by fears and by, you know, not allowing ourselves really to see the truth of what's happening because we're scared. We're like really just bold children scared of the consequences.
Yes, yes. And I think what you're mentioning in terms of detachment is such a key part in the healing process because it's not until you are able to pull yourself out of it, like right now, where I can reflect on that time without the emotional attachment of this person did this to me and I'm so upset with them. You can't get to that stage where you can fully embrace your accountability in that relationship. And the truth is, you know, trying to forgive someone when you're in pain, when you're dealing with that initial betrayal is literally like trying to put out a fire in an oil field without feeling the well. Right? Because as long as that pain flows and that forgiveness you achieve will be nothing more than a temporary elevation, so to speak, of feeling that will sink back into a pool of defensive resentment of contempt as soon as that pain rekindles. And so you have to be able to detach to get to this stage in healing. And, you know, I just want to emphasize that. And I know it's not easy because it took a while even for me to get there because I was so attached to that pain. I was so attached to feeling victimized that I could not fully, even though spiritually, and that's a whole other aspect we can tap into a little bit, but spiritually I felt the need to have to forgive. But I could not fully forgive until I was able to detach and be accountable for my actions and decisions in that relationship, which ultimately led me to self-love. And I want to tap in on that a little bit because I know we're kind of short for time. But, you know, allowing myself to detach and fully forgive them allowed me to love myself more and mm-hmm. realize that in doing so, I'm helping myself heal. And if you could share a little bit of thoughts on self-love and the healing process, Ms. Goopin, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I would love to, I would almost love to exchange the accountability. So, you know, I mean, this is true. Like, you have to be accountable for your actions, mm-hmm. to an extent. However, I'm also, when I'm, as we're talking, this accountability, this word, this, you know, this expectation, to me sounds almost too rough. It sounds almost like, you know, you're trying to, clean a wound with sandpaper. Like, what? Now I have to, what? I'm hurting and now I have to be accountable for it. So, I would, you know, while the sentiment, you know, I understand the sentiment, it feels like, I would rather talk about, you know, connecting with ourselves, with love first, with love and especially with understanding, to really see the hurt parts of ourselves. And this takes a lot of courage, actually. It really takes courage because to see the hurt parts of ourselves isn't, you know, blaming the other. It's not complaining about what's been done to us. It's to really go in and see, oh, this hurts here. This hurt me. And it's not, yeah. It stops being about the other. It starts to be about feeling the pain of human existence, because make no mistake, we all feel it. No matter what happened to you, no matter what your betrayal was, we all get to carry our piece of it. So this is not something that just happens to one person, and to allow ourselves to feel that pain takes a lot of courage.
Yes,
and then with that, when we can't do that, we can feel our pain without trying to make someone else responsible for it, but just going, that hurt me so much. Just that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we start to have access to loving ourselves. So these two actually, for healing, these two go together. To, you know, to be able to hold myself in pain, that's a doorway to self-love. A doorway
yeah.
to, you know, like with my clients, I often ask them, I do, you know, in a child work, I ask them, how old were you when you felt that the first time? And a lot of the time it's, you know, small, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 6 years, maybe 10 years. That pain, that's where that sits. And then can you now as an adult, can you talk to that small you, that young you, and what would you tell them? You know, it's okay. Okay, what would
mm-hmm.
you do with them? Like, give them a big hug, right? You know,
yeah.
like, pick them up, cuddle them. Take them out of that dark room where they're stuck and take them back out into the sunlight and say, you know, have a look around. Look, I know it hurts now, but it will be okay. And
yeah.
that's the doorway to self-love. And when we're connected with ourselves in that way, then we can start to go out and say, all right, well, let me have a look at where my part is here. You know, what did I do? And how can I be better, a better friend, a better lover, a better parent to myself next time? And that's when situations start to shift and really healing really starts to happen.
Yes. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just want to add with self-love, you know, part of it is forgiving yourself, right? Forgiving
yes.
yourself for things you did not know or you weren't prepared to deal with or mature enough to deal with at the time. And it's okay because it's all part of growing, right? And so, you know, I just want to say personally, it took me a while to get there because I had all of these high expectations of myself to be so mature at a young age. And I wanted to be at this particular level, at this particular time in my life that maybe I was not mentally and emotionally ready for, right? Because, you know, from a young age, we're all scaled to be at this level, you know. Yeah, by first grade, you should know this. And by high school, you should, you know, be at this intellect in order to be able to compete with your peers. And so we're constantly groomed to be in this kind of competition of some sort.
Yes, and, absolutely.
You know, in life, we have to pull ourselves out of it at some point and realize that we're not all running the same race, and it's okay. What works for me may not work for Ms. Lubin and her family, and that's fine. You know, it's really finding what works best for you, you know, and I want to emphasize that. I really want to emphasize that because that was something that I had to kind of grow into accepting. And I also want to point out that there is a difference between self-love and self-care because I know self-care can be a part of cultivating self-love, but I want to emphasize that there is a difference because I know that some people will say, well, I'm a big advocate for self-love because I get massages once a week. No, that could kind of lead to self-love, but it's more self-care. And I do applaud the effort that you're taking care of yourself, but that's just part of it. I mean, there's so many aspects of self-love, mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And I just want to throw that out there because I know when I initially started healing, I moved into a self-care phase. And it ultimately led me down to self-love, but I don't want you guys to stop there and think, well, as long as I'm getting some massages and some pedicures, I'll be okay, right? We need to break through and get to that healing stage of detachment and understanding what happens and embracing the growth. So I just wanted to throw that in there, Ms. Lubin, because I know that I hear that quite a bit, and I think people – you know, rather than pushing through the journey, they kind of take a pit stop right there and they don't really want to deal with that healing aspect of pain in order to continue that journey. So I encourage you guys to
It can. You're quite right. You know, it's like it's really important and to allow yourself to pamper yourself to a degree. But also it can lead away to, you know, it can lead away from actually having to do the hard work. Because, you know, you just, okay, well, I'm feeling bad right now, so let me make myself feel better through the body rather than face, you know, the internal environment that makes me feel bad. And it always starts internally. And also, I want to say that, you know, the self-love and self-forgiveness is not, these are lofty goals and they, you know, you can, they're not going to work by saying, I will now forgive myself. Like, I love and forgive myself. I love and forgive myself. I love and forgive myself. Mm-hmm. This is detail work. This actually, it needs to ferret out every little piece of it. And so therefore, you have to find first what it is exactly that I have to forgive myself for. You know, like, for example,
I'm
yesterday I was at work. Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't, you know, it goes sometimes slowly, and at other times it goes in leaps and bounds, and like one little thing opens so much self-love.
Yeah.
But still, it needs to be focused. Like, you know, like you turn around and you lose your temper at somebody, and in that, and then just, that's the thing. It's like, oh, in that moment, I lost my temper because X, Y, and Z, and I see it, and I understand why, and I can forgive myself. And that also often turns into, and therefore I will go and apologize to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I can see how that happened, and I didn't mean to hurt anybody, so it's easy to apologize. And that deepens the forgiveness. But yeah, it is totally detail oriented work. You have to find piece by piece.
Ms. Lubin, those, you know, I hear people also saying, you know, say your affirmations and believe that that's going to do it for you. And you can tell yourself until you're blue in the face that everything's okay. But until you fully kind of go through the process, it probably won't be. And that's
right.
True.
You know, I think there is a way that affirmations can work.
Absolutely.
Because
I don't want to
they can
say self-care and affirmations don't help. They do help, but
no,
not in and of itself.
Right. They can help if you take the affirmations to the point of eliminating your personality so completely. To when you get your thinking to a point of knowing you are divine consciousness. However, that's even harder work, because that is like the most famous example is a spiritual teacher called Sri Nisargadatta, who's now dead for quite many years. His affirmation that he got from his teacher was, I am that. And so he achieved a state of oneness with God consciousness through that, mm-hmm. and he obliterated everything else about himself in that process. So that he didn't see himself as a person who hurt somebody else or himself anymore. But that's the only truth that was left in his life. There wasn't anybody has hurt me or anybody or anything is wrong. There was just that.
Mm-hmm.
And so affirmations can work if you're that single-minded. But most mm-hmm. of us, you know, use affirmations like 5 minutes a day maybe, or like maybe
yeah.
3 times a week. And that is not a single-minded enough focus for it to work.
No, not at all. I think you're absolutely correct. And I'm so glad that we're mentioning these things, because I do see a lot of these kind of videos that tell people to just say this, and it's a, you know, a done deal. And there's so many aspects, as we described, healing from betrayal and sabotage and things
mm-hmm.
of that nature. And I want to just kind of touch very quickly on the religious aspect of it. And I'm not going to say too much, but I want to encourage those that have spiritual backgrounds and understand the importance of forgiveness spiritually, as the scriptures we read earlier. Understanding that sometimes we may need to cut cords in evolving to our highest self, because some people who may have caused you this kind of pain may not be at the level of spiritual understanding that you are. And I know that's also a challenging phase in your spiritual growth, is understanding that some people are spiritual lessons, and you know, they're part of the growing process where you learn from the errors of both of your ways. But that does not necessarily mean that in forgiveness spiritually you have to be tied to them on a permanent basis. You can spiritually cut the cord and forgive them from a distance. And I just want to kind of put that out there because I know, you know, when it comes to spirituality, people are concerned with, well, if I forgive them, does this mean that I have to keep on going in this cycle of endless betrayal with them because they're not growing with me spiritually and they're still at an elementary level of self-sabotage and hurting other people and they're not growing from that level and stage in the game. So again, it doesn't mean that you have to be tied to them in your spiritual growth. And that's all I'm going to say about that religiously. But I do want to emphasize that, you know, in part of the self-love process, it's okay to say no to things that don't work for you. You know, release that people-pleasing aspect of your life. And it is important to recognize that saying no is just as important as learning when to say yes. It's a key part of self-love and knowing what to give your energy in order for yourself to grow and release what doesn't serve you. Do you agree, Ms. Susan?
Absolutely. Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. And also, I found that a very beautiful part in the middle of the saying no or saying yes could be to learn to say, I don't know yet. Give me a moment to feel into this, to think about this, and the moment might be a week. Because we often don't know, you know, what really is good for us. Because we are, you know, we are conditioned to please our parents, to please our teachers through school. And so we're our a society of compulsive yes-sayers and at the same time compulsive naysayers for, you know, like it's not my fault. So to start to, you know, really feel into and give yourself time to think about how you want to answer this, to be able to say, oh, okay, I hear that's what you would like me to do and I need to think about this first, is a very good way to sidestep the yes and no until you had a moment.
Yes, that is one of the things that I have learned from you, Ms. Scooped in, believe it or not, from our initial kind of meetings is having that level of authenticity and telling people I need time to reflect on not just what you're saying, but how I feel about it as well, and I will follow up with you. It's okay to take that time for yourself because I know that I used to feel immensely pressured by people wanting me to do things now, right now. I need an answer now. I need you to answer the phone now. I need you to do this now. And vocalizing it in a way that's not so defensive where people feel attacked, but letting them understand, no, I need this time for me to reflect on my answer, on what I want to do without that pressure of you needing it now. So I hope that you guys can take that golden nugget with you guys as well and express it in a way that is clear, concise, and not as tactful. It has been helpful in my growth, and I hope that what Ms. Cleveland has shared with me, I can share with you, and you can grow with it as well. So thank you, Ms. Cleveland, for that lovely reminder of
yeah.
taking that time for yourself. Yes.
Totally. Yes. We can always use that. Always use that reminder again. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Ms. Susan, I know we kind of ran over time today, but I really, really enjoy our self-healing sessions. And I think it's going to be so beneficial to many people that are going through these same issues in live time. And I look forward to our monthly calls and having you on and giving us these little tokens to take with us. So I want to thank you for coming back and sharing your views and perspectives and all of your experience working with others through this healing process.
It is my pleasure, as always, Jewel. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I hope that this can be a little bit helpful to our listeners.
Absolutely. So everyone, thanks again for joining us today. And we look forward to having Ms. Stupin back on with us again next month on our healing series. Until then, we wish all of you love, light, and self-healing. Goodbye.
Bye.